Everyone,
just want to make sure you guys can hear me because I'm the only one that does not know how to use this thing properly. Before I start, one of my very good friends, a friend of my wife and I's for many, many years, I don't know, 40 years or so, she sent a Father's Day greeting to me. And I read it briefly and I had to repeat it to you guys. So for all the men, here today, happy Father's Day to you guys. Happy Father's Day. And I just want to read briefly what this says. To the dads who cared during hard times and cheered for us in the good ones. To the men who showed us what it means to work hard and show up consistently. To the father figure who offered us timely advice and practical support. To the men who continue to support, encourage, and inspire us. Thank you for showing us what it looks like to be a godly dad. You are seen, you are called, you are valued, and you are loved. And this is our message to you guys. Thank you. Being that today is Father's Day, I guess it only makes sense to have a message centered around Father's Day. Ordinarily, when we talk about Father's Day, we're talking about the joys of fatherhood and how great fathers are and what a wonderful world that exists because fathers are around. I have to tell you that this might not be one of those messages. In fact, if I had to title this message, I would call it The Realities of Fatherhood. So I want you to join with me as we talk about the realities of fatherhood. As all of you fathers know, sometimes fatherhood is easy. Sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes the choices are clear, and sometimes the choices are not clear. There are decisions that have to be made, and sometimes those decisions are popular versus decisions that are not popular. But one thing about a father, he understands that he has to take care of obligations. But sometimes, circumstances, sometimes beyond the control of the father, may derail him from taking care of those responsibilities and those obligations. And when men can't take care of their responsibilities or their obligations, for ladies, let me tell you, it affects the men as being men. It affects a man as being a man. When men are not in proper communication with their family and their co-workers and the relationships that they have with them around their circumference, it affects them as being a man. Men want to project an image of strength, determination, and leadership. When we're in that realm, I guess we're pretty much at home, but we can't always say that we're in that realm. And while we're doing that, we have to continue to maintain that relationship and understanding of being receptive to the needs of our families and our external relationships also. Men perceive women as a complicated species. Women perceive men as a complicated species. And the reason for that is that men and women have different thought processes. So the priorities of women might be different than the priorities of men in our thought processes. Now, let me first start off by saying I have no advanced degrees in psychology, sociology, marriage therapy, but this week I have been married for 31 wonderful years. And Peter, guess what I found out in being married 31 wonderful years? I still don't understand women. I tell you the truth, I just don't understand women. Mm-hmm. For the ladies, again, the priorities in our thought processes are different than the priorities in your thought processes. And I'll give you a real quick example. I asked my wife, honey, what did you buy when you, first of all, my wife asked me, honey, what did you buy when you went to the supermarket? Well, I went to the supermarket, I walked to the back, I got me some eggs, I got me some bread, I got me some cheese, I walked to the cashier, paid the money and left. Well, that's how a man responds. Patricia, What did you get at the supermarket? Well, I walked into the supermarket, I went to the back, I saw the eggs, but I noticed that one of the eggs were cracked. Now, if you see an egg that is cracked, it's probably not a good egg, so you want to look for the other eggs. But if you can see another egg that is cracked, then good, you're doing well. But then you go to the bread section. It's good to go on a Wednesday because bread is half price. And so therefore, I'm pulling out my hair inside saying, what did you get from the supermarket? Because men are straight to the point, the women, all over the place. Salvation may not change the thought dynamics of men and women, but it will give us a greater appreciation for God's word and then a great appreciation for his commandments. And when we do his commandments, then it affects every aspect of our lives, including our relationships. Thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come before you this wonderful Father's Day, oh God. And we thank you for the message, oh God, as we're being led by your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, God. Strengthen the men today, oh God. Strengthen the families today, oh God. Give us a deeper understanding of what your will is, oh God, what your word is, oh God, what your commandments are as we diligently follow them, oh God, that we walk closer and closer to our Father in heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And we pray, oh God, that you just let your Holy Spirit have his way in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I continue, I do want to make a quick shout out to there's a couple here today that my wife met last week, and they probably thought my wife was a blessing to them, but I would like to let that couple know that they were more of a blessing to her than they could ever know. So again, to that couple, thank you. Thank you very much, guys. And to any and all visitors here, again, welcome to our wonderful church. Okay, so if I had to start for the scripture, I'm going to be in Psalms 119, and I want to look at verse 169. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. 169, that's verse 169. Give me understanding according to your word. You know, I want to be a good father. I desire to be a good father. Not because Ralph is such a wonderful guy. I want to be a good father because when you understand the commandments, that's a good thing. But to understand the commandments, there must be a love for God's word so that you're receptive to the understanding of what God's word is. So you're talking about an understanding. Without understanding, you really have nothing. Job 32:8 says that every one of us has a spirit, but the inspiration of the Almighty giveth that spirit understanding. So I pray, Lord, give me understanding to what your commandments are, what your word is, what your precepts are, that I may live strongly according to such. As I go into verses 171 and 174, through 174, Psalm 119, it says this. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your righteousness, for all your commandments are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Wow, to be delighted in the Lord is a specific experience for those that love the Lord can enjoy, and I guess it will make us a better father. But before I jump the gun, I want to say, hold on a minute, let's not get carried away. Again, as a father, you have to make decisions, and sometimes decisions are not so popular, and my wonderful sons are the recipient of many of my decisions. I know my kids love me, but that does not mean that they always like me. Sometimes they like me, and sometimes they don't. Because as a father, I have to intervene sometimes. I can't let them be overwhelmed with situations that are beyond their control. I have a son that loves gaming technology, and I have a son that loves YouTube and TikTok stars, and I have a son that loves different designer sneakers and his Air Jordans and his Nikes and Adidas and everything else, and all those things are good. I'm not against those things, but I am concerned when material things overtake their life. So if you ask me, Ralph, what are you concerned about? I'm going to first tell you that I'm not so concerned about Air Jordans and Adidas and things like that. I know they're great, they're good, I have no problem with them, but that's not my main concern. I'm not concerned about the wonderful joys of TikTok stars and YouTube stars. They're great, wonderful, have no problem with them, but that's not my concern. If you ask me what my concern is, I will also tell you that I'm not such a big deal on gaming technology. My kids love it, praise the Lord, got no problem with it, but that's not my concern. But if you ever look me in my eyes and ask me what my concern is, I will be glad to tell you that I'm much more concerned about the widespread systematic destruction of a whole generation of young people. Because they're susceptible to all of the critical issues that permeate today's society. And as a father, I have to be concerned with that. That has to be my concern. One thing I pray is that the inspiration of the Almighty gives me understanding so I know how to address those concerns properly. Going back to Psalm 119. So again, I'm gonna, if it's okay with you guys, can I just chat with you a little bit? Just run chat. This is the real Ralph Johnson. When you guys see me, I want to portray a certain image. But this is the real Ralph Johnson. I just want to just chat with you, if that's okay. Let's go to Psalm 175. Verses 175 and 176 of Psalm 119. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your laws sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Seek your servant. Look for me, Lord, when I need looking for. For I have never forgotten your commandments. So, my kids love me, but don't necessarily mean that they always like me. My dear wife loves me, but doesn't necessarily mean she always likes me. But she loves me. God bless her. Even with our different thought processes, this is a process of understanding. I come home, I work, as Pastor Joel said, I work late. I work 4 to midnight. By the time I get home, it's like 12:45 in the morning. And after hard days of work, I'd love to find out what wonderful hot dinner has been prepared for me. And I look around and I don't see anything. I don't see nothing. And then I start to say, wow, that didn't make anything for me. Why is that? She should have made something. She must have had a chance to do that. But then again, I realize that I've overlooked that Pat wakes up at 6:30 in the morning and gets our kids together for their programs and going to school, and then she goes to work as a teacher from 8 to 4, and she's back at 4 o'clock, and then she gets prepares her lesson for the next day, and then gets our kids together, makes them dinner, takes a little bit of a rest because she has to get up the next day to do this all over again, and I'm talking about where my dinner. You know, it's all about being receptive to the needs of each other. The psalmist says, because when I stray like a lost sheep, seek your servant, because I don't forget your commandments. Again, to the men, this is me, maybe you are like me, I don't know, but sometimes I fall short, sometimes I feel like I'm not there. And when that happens, Lord, seek your servant, find me. Because you know in here, I have your word and I love your word. Sometimes I feel like I didn't make the right decisions and I may be too hard on my kids and I might be too forceful in certain things, but Lord, when that happens, seek out your servant, touch my heart, because you know, Lord, that the commandment's in me and I have the desire to do right. Verse 165 earlier says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. You know what, Mike? Sometimes I do struggle. I do stumble. And perfect people have I never met. But when I do struggle and when I do stumble, I don't stay stumbled because, Lord, seek me out. Find me so I can make the proper decisions. When I feel like I have not met the potential that God has expected of me, you know, Clint, that makes me feel pretty bad. Lord, please seek me, look for me, find me, and help me build on that foundation, what you expect of me. Imperfect people relying on a perfect God, you cannot build a better relationship. And once we start relying on our perfect God, again, it touches all aspects of our life, including our relationships. Lord, sometimes I feel like this Adamic nature is trying to take over. And Christian, when that feels like that, then you feel like you're not moving, you're almost stagnant, that you gotta grow, that you gotta get away from that Adamic nature. And Lord, when that happens, seek me, look for me, find me, because I have your word hidden in my heart. I need your understanding. I need your understanding. Going back to what Job said again, every man has a spirit, but the inspiration of the Almighty gives that spirit understanding. Let me share something with you, something that happened the other day. I came home and I had me a bowl of Frosted Flakes. This is a shout out to you, Frosted Flakes, but I had a bowl of Frosted Flakes. I love Frosted Flakes. So, you know, every now and then I go into the box and I eat my Frosted Flakes. The other day, while I was eating my Frosted Flakes, I saw one of the flakes had a little dark spot on it. So with my next okay, so can you hear me good? Okay. So I'm saying, wow, they may have baked this bug in the Frosted Flakes. So I don't know if I want to continue eating it. But let me just verify that it is really a bug. So what do? I do what any red-blooded American does. I go into my home office, go into my microscope, put the Frosted Flakes under the microscope, because we all know every red-blooded American has a high-powered microscope in their house, of course. So, but before I look in this microscope, I start asking, maybe I don't want to know what it is. Suppose it really is a bug. That must mean that half of that box that I've been eating, I have a mouthful of bugs. Now, for those of you who are into bugs, I'm sure they're nutritious and they're great for you and everything, but that's not my style, so. I almost didn't want to know. So if I don't want to know, and I'm going to make the assumption and judge the box, I'm going to throw the whole box out because I'm assuming it's full of bugs. But just look. So I go under my high-powered microscope that all of us have, and I look and I realize that that flake was just a burnt part of the baking process. So it was a little bit more baked than others. I said, wow, so it's not a bug. I can eat it. But what I've learned from that, the whole lesson behind that is, there was an issue that I should have addressed so I can get a greater understanding of what's going on. But I was afraid to address it because I was afraid of the outcome. And I was ready to destroy a whole box of cereal with the assumption that it might be full of bugs. And I felt God telling me that as a father, there are situations you don't want to touch. But you're going to have to touch them. You have to address them. Because that's your role as a father. And ladies, we need your support. Continue to encourage us. Because I don't think there's a father, a husband, or anyone that's going to look at you and say, I don't need all that. Save your accolades for those other guys. Me, I can just live on my strength. Not the case. Not the case. So again, sometimes you have to address issues that you might be afraid to address. But in the long run, that's what God has given us the courage to do. I want to sum it up with this. I wish I could have come here and said all these wonderful things about fatherhood is just hunky-dory and you'll love every second of it and you're just going to be the greatest father in the world and you will get the father of the year. But in reality, that may not be the case because in 31 wonderful years of marriage, there's still a couple of bumps. But then again, God gives us an understanding and he gives us the strength
to address those bumps, and we can be stronger as a result of them. But if there's a perfect couple in here, please introduce yourself to me, because I want to know what it's like to be perfect, because I have no clue what that is. Okay, one more thing. Again, so as I sum this up, I'll sum this up with a story. In London, in Westminster, if I got that right, there's a crossword, a crossroad. It's called Charing Cross. And it's right smack in the middle of London. And it's been specifically designed to be the cornerstone to tell you the distance of everything in the city. On that point is actually a cross. And this was, you know, going to the backstory, King Edward gave it to his, put it up as a memorial to his wife, Queen Eleanor, because she died on her journeys to him, to be with him. And he was so hurt by that that he built up a cross. But right there, it is in the middle of everything. You want to go to the supermarket? No problem. The place is called the cross, and people will refer to it as, oh, you just go, you want to go to the supermarket? You go 2 blocks west of the cross. You want to go to the beach? No problem. That's about 7 miles east of the cross. But everything is built upon the cross because it gives a perfect distance for everything you need to know. So one day, a little boy was lost, and he didn't know how to get home. So he stopped the gentleman, and he asked the gentleman, sir, I'm lost, and I'm not quite sure how to get home. Now, the gentleman could have said, why you're lost? How did you get lost? You know, is it my problem that you're lost? That's your problem. That's not something that I'm concerned with. But the man didn't do that. But the man did not know how to get to this little boy's house. But you know what he did do? He told the boy one thing he did know. He said, kid, I don't know how to get to your house, but I'll tell you one thing. I can lead you to the cross. And if you can get to that cross, then anywhere you want to go, you have direction. So the man led the little boy to the cross. And once the boy came to the cross, he said, now I recognize things. Now I know where I am. I only needed someone to bring me to the cross. And I didn't need anyone trying to ask me, why am I lost, and whose fault it is, and what took me so long, and what are all the problems in my life. I didn't need all that. I simply needed someone to bring me to the cross, and then I'm going to be all right. To sum this up, if I can be that for my kids, to bring them to the cross, not judgmentally judge their every negative action, but to be a father that teaches, I think I'm accomplishing my job as a father. Not as a perfect father, but as a father. Not as a perfect husband, but as a husband. Not as a perfect coworker, but as a coworker. Again, guys, every man has a spirit, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives that spirit understanding. And when you have that understanding, you would want to do God's commandments. And I'm going to end it with this. There's a difference between loving God's commandments and doing God's commandments. So let me say that again. There's a difference between loving God's commandments and doing God's commandments. Okay, Ralph, so what's the difference? And the difference is this. I use the IRS as a perfect example. When tax time comes around, I have an obligation to pay taxes. I don't want to pay taxes. I'm not looking forward to paying taxes. And when the taxes go up, the first thing in my mind is not, wow, I have an opportunity to pay all my country's bills. I just don't see it that way. But I do it because it's an obligation. And plus, they do a whole bunch of bad things to you if you don't do it. But it's an obligation. But I do it. I don't love it, but I do it. And God is saying, I have commandments. Don't do it out of obligation. You do it because you love my commandments. And when you love God's commandments, then you will do it according to love and not according to obligation. And then it makes you so much more receptive to everything that God has for you. And I want to end it that way, guys. Happy Father's Day again. And husbands, be receptive to your family. Be receptive to your to your wife and your kids and your other relationships, your job relationship, your external family. And ladies, give your guys that support. Trust me, they will definitely need it. Amen? Okay, thank you guys. And at this point, I'm going to call Pastor Joel to come to the front.
Hey, Christian, I don't know if you could help me here real quick. I just want to read those verses one last time as we close. Psalm 119. Let my tongue sing of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Lord, let your hand be ready to help me, for I've chosen your precepts, and I long for your salvation. O Lord, your word is my delight. Let my soul live. Why? That it may praise you. And let your ordinances help me. Many times I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Lord, we pray this morning, seek your servants. For I do not forget your commandments. Thank you, Father, that you have spoken your word in Christ. Not only spoken your word, but you have imparted and implanted your word in us so that we can't forget. Lord, we're responsible for it now. We're responsible for this word we've heard. And Lord, when we fall short, and we do, we all fall short. Scripture says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way. Lord, we pray that you would seek us out. We thank you, Lord. You say of yourself that your eyes are searching throughout the earth to and fro for those in whom you might show yourself strong. And Lord, we are some weak vessels today, and we need the Father's hand and the heart of the Father and the eyes of the Father to seek after us and to save us, Lord. Let our souls live that we may praise you, Father, that you'd be glorified in us and that we would be edified, Lord, with your word bearing fruit in our lives. Thank you, Father, for this word, this truth. May it find a home in our hearts. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Just want to pray a blessing, Father. Would you bless each person here with the peace of your Holy Spirit, the joy of your Holy Spirit, the love and fellowship of your Holy Spirit, for with each heart, Lord, that responds to you and to your word this morning, to each household represented here, Father, be glorified in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We encourage you to connect to community. There are opportunities to help with those meals. We ask you to be a part of that if you would. And also remember Meg Henschel, who's in the hospital this week. She had surgery. Also Astrid Lindholm, who's going to be in rehab in Long Beach. So just remember to pray for them. And God bless you on your journey today. Amen.